This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
On Bent Notes, my special guest tonight is a singer, a songwriter, and a pianist who was born in Australia and has spent some time working in New York. He's now returned to Australia. Dan Bolton describes his songs as 21st century standards incorporating elements of jazz, pop, and Latin styles. And it's my pleasure to welcome to the Bent Notes studio at Joy 94.9, Dan Bolton.
Thanks, David.
Great to have you here in studio tonight, Dan.
Yeah.
We missed out on you, about a month and a half ago, I think, at your CD launch. You're up in the air somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. That's right, yeah. And I was coming back from America, but had a show there at Paris Cat, and have another CD launch coming up at the Rising Sun on Saturday night. Looking forward to that.
The album itself is obviously album that Corey's having a look at the moment. It's very nice. Yeah. Living to Regret It.
Yes.
Now, these are all your own songs.
That's right.
Where do you get your titles from? What's the inspiration to write these songs?
Quite a variety there. I mean, various relationship situations, for one. There's a couple of songs in there about New York, my time living over there. Spent about 5 years living in New York before coming back to Australia. Just real life stuff. I tend to write better about myself than other people for some reason.
It's probably the subject that you know the most
That's
about.
That's right.
Exactly. Now, you describe your music as 21st century standards. What do you mean by saying that?
I mean, I like to... My big inspirations are the composers of the Great American Songbook, Gershwin, Cole Porter, those sort of people, Irving Berlin. But my songs, I like to write them, with that sort of flavour, but with a 21st century context. So the lyrics relate to modern day, but there's still a tradition coming from back then, I guess.
A tradition in terms of the overall look and feel and sound of the songs.
That would be pretty accurate, I'd say.
But with modern language, perhaps we could say.
Yeah.
In a sense. When you're songwriting your 21st century standards, what comes first, the melody or the lyrics or the idea?
No, generally for me, it's the melody. If I'm not writing a song with a good melody, it doesn't matter how good the lyrics are. As far as I'm concerned,
I suppose that's something about all the standards from the 20th century.
That's right.
There was always a fantastic melody with the standards.
That's exactly right. That's probably why I like that music best, because it's all about the melody and everything else kind of flows from that.
And ultimately, if you've got a good melody, what do people do with it? They hum it, they whistle it, they sing it.
That's exactly right.
It stays with them forever.
Yeah.
The music that you compose, you put together your melody and you note it all down. How do you decide what the song's going to be based upon the melody that you've got? Does the melody direct you?
It does most times. Actually, the song that we're going to play next up is a song about New York. And when I wrote the music for it first, it just felt like it had to be about New York. There's certain songs that have that sort of feeling in it. And I guess you'll hear it soon, so you'll get to know what I'm talking about. And then there's other songs, ballads, things like that, where it might have a sad feeling if it's in a minor key. So it'll be about losing a loved one or that sort of thing. But yeah, as I say, generally the melody will dictate where I go with the lyrics. Now, it's finding a unique kind of way to mold the lyrics, that's another story. That takes a bit of time. If it's a love song, you've got to find a unique way of saying I love you. Otherwise, it's been done many times before. So that's the tricky part in some ways for me, is just shaping the lyric and making it unique. But the melody for me always comes first.
Do you find when you're writing, whether it be the melodies or the lyrics, that you write something down, you think that sounds good, and then a couple of minutes later you realise you've already used it?
Yeah, exactly. That happens. And I think the more I've written songs, and I've recorded like 6 albums now, it actually gets, you'd think it would get easier, but it gets harder. But I think your standards also get a little higher as to what's acceptable and what's not. And also you can't keep going back to the same well. You've got to find new, just something fresh every time. Otherwise it's just not worth writing.
And is that important for you as a musician as well as your listeners, to have that new product, for want of a better word, coming along?
It is for me because I like to do original songs. I mean, I can do all the standards as well, but I figure that the rest of the world, just about every jazz musician in the world does that already. I have to come up with new songs every show I do to get, you know, because I get people that want to come back to my show each time, and I want to give them something fresh every time. So that's a little challenge I always set myself between shows is to come up with, you know, good songs.
That
new
must
songs.
Must be a little bit frustrating at times when you set yourself a challenge of that nature.
It can be, but it's what I do. It's what I pride myself on, and so far I'm still doing it. So
that's good. Yeah. You've got chosen a song for us to have a listen to hear some of your. We did hear "Living to Regret It" up front of the program tonight. So thank you very much for getting that to us. But we've got another piece now.
Yeah.
What's the story behind this one? You mentioned that it was to do with New York.
Yeah, it's just a song about. As I said, I lived there for 5 years. This is called "Me and New York and You." There's just various things about living in New York that are quite particular to being there that you don't get elsewhere. So this is with Julie O'Hara, and I did a vocal duet on this.
Here is "Me and New York and You."
On Broadway we'll see stalls in the street with all kinds of treats we don't need to eat. Because we can, we'll partake like we do. Me and New York and you.
Our subway's delayed, running local of eight. If we don't get there in time, the next set's at 9. After Lallin, we'll hear our favorite tunes. Me and New York and you. There's nowhere in the world with nightlife.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Dan, you've recorded this new album, and I think you've recorded it here in Melbourne, haven't you?
That's right.
So you've been back from America for how long?
About a year and a half.
A year and a half. So that's plenty of time to go and record, and I did happen to notice that you recorded at Pug House Studios.
Yeah, that's right. I'm very happy with the result there. Nico, I can't even pronounce his last name. Nico, we'll call him.
We'll call him Nico.
Did a great job. And Phil Rex, he did the mastering and mixing as well. Did a great job and played bass.
Played the bass on it as well. You've got Darren Ferrugia on the drums.
Yep.
Yourself, piano vocals and backing vocals. Singing vocals and backing vocals all at the same time.
Not at the same time. No, I haven't figured out how to do that yet.
No. Paul Van Ross.
Yeah, great musician, Paul, and a great guy.
Very much so.
Good mate of mine.
It's been a while since we've had Paul in the studio. We might have to get him back in soon. And Lachlan Davidson on the saxes, with Paul Williamson there as well on the tenor sax on a couple of tracks.
So I got three different sax players, and that's because the certain songs that have different flavours, and those guys are all great players in their own way, but they all play differently. So I was very happy with the choices I made on that.
Good to hear. And we will hear another track from that shortly. And then over coming weeks, we'll certainly be sharing a number of albums here. It's three New York Sessions albums.
That's right.
Recorded in New York when you're over there.
Exactly, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Were they all the same band that you used for these ones?
Pretty much. I had a few different guests that came in. There's a sax player on there called Adrian Cunningham, who you may have heard of.
I have heard his name,
Sydney,
yes.
Well, originally from Sydney, but he's in New York. He's going great guns over there. But
I think I had an album of his back in 2010 that we played on Bent Notes ad infinitum for a while there. When you're writing these songs and putting a band together, you mentioned having different sax players for some of the tracks. Why is it important to you to have the individual player sounds?
When I put an album together, I want there to be variety where someone's going to listen to it from the first song right to the end. You know, I want every song to have its own flavour and select the specific musicians that can do it justice is pretty important. I mean, I could, they would all do a good job if I kept the same sax players, you know, if I picked one and used them for everything, but I didn't need to do that. I just want the best product I can have, and those guys did a great job. So
when selecting them, is that something that you've always had an ear for, or is it something that you've learned over your years in New York?
Oh, look, look, I kind of know what I want, and then I'll consult people. And yeah, I mean, Paul Van Ross is probably my best mate in Melbourne here, and he gave me advice. And you know, he said, look, I think Paul Williamson, he'd be great on the more pop sounding tunes. Plus, he plays great baritone sax. You know, he suggested him and Lachlan Davidson. I'd done a few restaurant gigs with him, and I knew he's got more of a cool Paul Desmond, David Sanborn type of sound on the alto. So I thought great, he'll work really well on those tunes. And then Paul Van Ross, you'll hear him on the next track. He plays great flute and tenor sax as well. And so yeah, as I said, I want every song to be interesting and unique, and I don't want the listeners to get bored thinking, yeah, I've heard this before.
Where did your likes of jazz start? Was it something you've always had, or did jazz come along later?
Look, it came along a little later. I kind of started more on the blues side of things and rock and roll even, and even country music. And to me, all of those things are just another variant of jazz anyway. It's all one and the same thing, really. And that's why you hear people like Ray Charles, and that he'll play great jazz, but then you'll hear him do a country tune. That's no coincidence to me. It's all music to me. So,
it's all related.
Yeah.
Who were your musical inspirations in the early days? Any particular musicians?
Well, I mean, in the very early days when I was a teenager, like I said, Jerry Lee Lewis of all people. You know,
right.
I started there, and I can play all of his tunes pretty much. But then it as I said, it kind of grew into other people like Oscar Peterson. I mean, I wish I could play like him. But then the New Orleans stuff, I love that. Professor Longhair, Harry Connick Jr., Dr. John. There's a lot of different influences, but what inspires me the most is writing songs and trying to make a unique kind of statement rather than sort of emulating what other people have done. So I kind of consider myself a jazz musician, but a songwriter first. That's what I strive to do. And so, yeah, and then to answer your question, you know, songwriters, and there's a million of them that are great, all the great American songbook people. And I met Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Oh, did you?
In Melbourne here about 2 months ago. He was doing a show, and talked to him after the show. And he's actually one of my right up the top as far as songwriters go. So that was a really big thrill.
Oh, it would be indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of someone you've looked up to for many years.
I have, actually. I have, so normally I wouldn't bother waiting around after a show to meet someone, but I figured he was worthwhile, and really nice bloke to go with it, actually. And I've kind of kept in touch with him as well.
Oh, great.
And, I sent him, he wanted to hear the album, so that was a big thrill for me to mail it over to England, and he gave me a thumbs up. So,
well, that's good to hear. That's extremely good to hear. Now, you've launched it once.
Yep.
You're going to launch it again.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Where are you launching it?
The Rising Sun Hotel this Saturday night.
Saturday night, June 30.
That's right. Yeah, so we'll kick off at 7 o'clock, and I can't wait. We'll be upstairs there. It's a great venue.
Is your playlist the album?
Look, I'm going to do songs from the album, some of the songs I recorded in New York from those albums, and I'm going to throw in some... it's a crowd there that tends to like the standards, so I'll throw in a few standards, but arrangements that I've done of standards rather than just the stock versions of them. So,
do you get a particular thrill out of taking a stock standard arrangement and then redoing it?
That's the only way I like to do things, if I have a choice. Yeah, I do. I do. Mm-hmm. I like to try to make it my own somehow, you know, but still staying true to the song, of course.
The Dan Bolton sound.
That's what I try for.
When did you work out that there is a Dan Bolton sound? Was that something that just appeared one day, or was it something you worked toward?
That's a good question. I had a few people that I respect. One of them's a guy called Rod Ford from Galapagos Duck. He's the drummer with them, and he came up to me and said, look, you know, really like your songs, and I figured, well, if someone like that's saying that, then there must be something there, and I've had a few people like that have kind of spurred me on, and I think that's what I like to hang my hat on as much as anything. So it's developed over the years, but it's something I guess I recognise, I guess in my 20s, that was something I really wanted to go for. Yeah.
Well, I think we should listen to a little bit more of the Dan Bolton Sound. Dan, I'd like to say a very big thank you for popping into the studio tonight and having a chat. Of course, if we want to hear more of you, it's Saturday night, June 30th at the Rising Sun Hotel in Raglan Street, South Melbourne, 7 o'clock, an hour and a 2 hour and a half show.
That's right.
Amazing show.
You can come in early beforehand. They've got great meals. So if you want to come in around 6 o'clock and have a meal.
And we should look at who's performing there with you. It's yourself, of course, piano and vocals. Paul Van Ross on the woodwind.
Yep.
Philip Rex on the bass and Damien Ellis on the drums.
That's right. That's right. You can get you can book tickets online early if you want to get a good seat. Event Finder or you
eventfinder.com.au.
That's right. Or you can just come up at the door.
See Dan, thank you so much for coming in. What's the song you've chosen for us to go out with?
The song's called Leaving You, and I figured the first song we did was about New York. This is also on the new album, and this is all about leaving New York.
Dan Bolton. Leaving you on Joy.
Every time I try to walk away, I look into your eyes and want to stay. New York, you're not really where I need to be, but something's keeping me from leaving. You don't need these coffees to relax each night to go out jamming to that jazz. Spending money like it's growing on the trees, but something's keeping me from leaving. You tell me, where am I ever gonna get? Retro, avant-garde, or straight ahead? The energy to make me feel this way, but you won't go away. Something's keeping me from leaving you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.